The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Mark's Gospel presents the Transfiguration as a preview of what would become apparent to Jesus' followers after he rose from the dead. Confused disciples are given a vision of God's glory manifest in the beloved Son. I begin reading at verse 2. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who was talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever stopped and thought how much time you spend waiting throughout your lifetime? We wait at traffic lights. We wait at home sometimes on each other. We have waiting lines. We have waiting lists. We have waiting rooms. We wait to see the doctor. We wait for birthdays to come up. We may wait for church to start. We may wait for First Communion to take place. You may be waiting for the sermon to be over. We wait. We constantly wait. This next week, coming up, we begin the Lenten season with Ash Wednesday. And Lent is a type of time of waiting. We are waiting to celebrate that great Easter event, that cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it's not waiting just sitting around, being useless, just wasting time. This waiting is a useful type of waiting. It's a needful waiting. It's an expectation type of waiting. We use this time during Lent to prepare ourselves as we wait for the cross and the resurrection, to celebrate that great event. And we do that in several ways. We get prepared in several ways. One is that we do have the extra worship services, such as Wednesday evening and also Wednesday morning in the chapel. We have our Ash Wednesday service, and you receive that sign of the cross in ashes on your forehead. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. We remember where we are in the scheme of things. We prepare during this time of Lent as corporately, like I said, in the extra worship services that we do have each Wednesday evening and Wednesday mornings. But we also do it on a personal level. And that's probably where it's the most meaningful, even for us. We turn our attention to that cross and that resurrection. But we do that by focusing a lot on ourselves as well, of who we are, what we've done, what we need to do to change in our lives. We need to think about the directions that we have gone, and many times they are the wrong direction, and we need to repent of that. And we pray. We pray that God may help us to change, to alter our ways. But then at the same time, we also very much focus on the cross and Jesus Christ and what he did for us, that he did die for our sins, that he did forgive us. And through our baptism, we are tied to that cross and the resurrection and given the promise of eternal life. We remember that we are sinners in need of repentance, but at the same time, we remember our worthiness made right by Jesus Christ in what he did. And so during this Lenten season, as we continue to wait to celebrate. We wait with useful purpose. We wait with expectation. It was the 25th anniversary of high school graduation, and the class was having a reunion. People were starting to gather, and they were, as they met each other, they just stayed outside on the front lawn, and they were gathering in a group and just greeting one another and exchanging stories. And the stories turned to one of their classmates. It turned to Bubba. Bubba wasn't there yet. But Bubba was one of those kind of characters that everybody loved. And when Bubba was around, things started to happen. You always enjoyed being with Bubba. You never know what was going to happen. Sometimes they were great things, fun things. Sometimes they were maybe even a little bit dangerous. But there was always something that was going to happen around Bubba. He's just one of those characters that things happened to. But Bubba was not one of the brightest students in the class. As a matter of fact, he barely squeaked by for his high school graduation. And the subject that gave him the most trouble was math. He had a hard time even adding up a column of figures. But what made these classmates kind of chuckle about Bubba was one of the stories is that Bubba always said he was going to be a millionaire. And they were kind of chuckling about it because Bubba probably didn't even know what a $1 million was. Wouldn't be able to write it down on a piece of paper. Well, as they were exchanging and swapping Bubba stories, up drives this brand new chauffeur-driven limousine. And out steps Bubba, decked out in a expensive tailor-made suit, gold rings on his fingers, diamond cufflinks in his shirt. And they went up to Bubba and says, "Wow, Bubba, where'd you get that car? How'd you do it, Bubba? How'd you make all your money?" Bubba says, "Well, let me tell you. I invented a little gizmo that cost only $5 to manufacture, and I sell it for $100. That 10% profit sure adds up in a hurry." Bubba had the expectations that he would become a millionaire. And that's something about expectations. They're kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. That when we expect things to happen, we open our eyes and we look for those opportunities. And we see those opportunities and we grab them. Lent is about expectation. It's about waiting in expectation. And that's what we're praying for during Lent. And that's why we focus upon the cross and we focus upon our own lives. So that our eyes are opened up, our ears are opened up to listen to God, to see those opportunities that He has for us so that we can change, so that we can transform our lives. Our gospel lesson this morning is about transformation, or it's transfiguration as it's called, that Jesus takes His three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, and they go up on top of a mountain, and there Jesus is transfigured before them, or transformed, and He becomes dazzling white, showing Jesus in His perfection. And along with Him comes Moses and Elijah. Moses, the lawgiver, showing that Jesus is the perfection of the law, that He has fulfilled the whole law of God. Elijah, the forerunner of the Messiah, that it was believed that Elijah was supposed to return before the end times or before the Messiah came about. Jesus is the fulfiller of all the promises. And the disciples see Jesus now as He truly is, of who He truly is. They had just been following a carpenter from Nazareth, but now they see Jesus in all of His glory. And they think, "This is great. Let's just stay here. Jesus, we'll build you some houses and we can just stay up here. This is wonderful." And then a big booming voice comes out of the heavens. "This is my son. Listen to him." And as they looked, they saw only Jesus as He normally was. And it was time to go down off of that mountain, back into the plains and the valleys, back to do the ministry. During this time of Lent, that's where we go. We go back into the plains and the valleys. We turn back to that time when we need to reflect, to pray, to open our eyes to the transformation, to the changes that God has in store for our lives as we wait for this great Easter event, as we wait to celebrate that cross and the resurrection. This is a time of waiting, a time of expectation, a time of useful waiting. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.